Welcome to The Arts Review with me, Tom Hall. We'll be enjoying a slew of rising musical stars from the land of the rising sun in today's edition as we head to Japan to hear about the country's instrumental hip-hop scene with Monocle contributor, broadcaster, tastemaker and global musical magpie Nick Luscombe. We'll hear a bit of Tatsumi, a skateboarding monk making brilliant electronic music, and Kush, whose off-kilter rhythms have us all of a flutter. And we'll also hear from Shinokoze, a tea oil farmer brewing up some heady beats. That's all to come here on The Arts Review on Monocle 24. Nick, you join us all the way from Kumamoto in Japan. What takes you over to those regions? I hear it's something of a Japanese hip-hop odyssey you're on.
Yeah. I mean, the original plan was to come here to record all kinds of field recordings and launch a new project. And on the way, we're kind of traveling with a guy called Tatsumi, who's a Buddhist hip-hop priest, who's kind of guiding us around to all kinds of interesting places and clubs. And we're just parked up now outside of 7-Eleven, and he's in the front, and I'm going to play some of his music in a minute.
Yeah, tell me, how does one become a hip-hop priest? I mean, obviously there's something slightly holy sounding about that, but maybe some of his music isn't quite as close to God as we might suspect.
No, he's pretty close to Buddha. I mean, really is. So the man is a fully qualified and, you know, fully spiritual priest. But hip hop is part of his life, and it's, you know, the two things don't collide. You know, it just works really beautifully, and the music he makes is represents both those ideals, you know. So it's very spiritual, you know.
Maybe we should take a quick listen to one of those tracks.
Yeah, well, this is the first one. This is brand new music. This hasn't been played anywhere before. So this is Tatsumi, and the track is called Mystery Hip Hop.
That was Tatsumi. Tell me a little bit about that then, Nick. It's a kind of instrumental kind of hip-hop vibe there. Whereabouts in Japan is Tatsumi from? And is he a big name there? Or is this something that you've sourced yourself? Or tell people about how you came across him.
Well, Tatsumi's featured in an amazing film called Kanzeon, which was put together by Neil Cantwell, who's... I can just see him. He's over there, basically. He's just outside the car. So I'm traveling with him as part of this project. And the film is all about the sound of religion across Japan. And part of it features Tatsumi, who is, you know, he's I would say, the most well-known sort of DJ of his kind and producer, beat maker. He's worked with a lot of rappers from New York. He's worked with some great Japanese hip-hop artists as well. So he's definitely a name here. But, you know, he's featured in the film, like I said, and it's really worth having a look at that to sort of see what he gets up to. And that's a brand new track. You know, lots of other tracks have got, you know, great rappers on them. But that's just a beautiful instrumental piece.
Hip-hop is a very wide spectrum. It's not all about bling and that kind of thing, but there is a very materialistic side to it. Does being a Buddhist hip-hop MC sort of clash with any of that more materialistic sort of motifs?
No, I mean, we've been staying with Tatsumi, and, you know, he lives a very modest lifestyle, you know. He looks good, but he doesn't look bling, so it can be done.
I think maybe bling's a bit played out these days anyway. I think maybe you probably look better not looking bling.
True, absolutely. Yeah, it's so right. But no, modest lifestyle for sure, but just, you know, really is obsessed with the two things, and it's beautiful to see a very different take on that whole musical genre for sure.
Yeah. And what kind of influence is someone like Tatsumi kind of soaking up? Because, I mean, we all know that hip hop comes from the USA, but is this a very Japanese strand of it? Or can you sort of spot influences from outside Japan in that sound?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the samples he uses, he works a lot with Japanese sounds and kind of temple sounds and natural sounds as well, you know, sounds of animals and things like that. So there's definitely a strong strain of Japanese sounds within his work. But then some of the beats, you know, they sound, you know, quite sort of American and, you know, proper, if you want to call it that, proper sort of hip-hop. You know, it's definitely coming from the two places. I think it's very hard to make hip-hop in Japan and not be influenced by sort of all kinds of hip hop from the States from the beginning, you know, right through to the present stuff.
It's a very grey area, sort of instrumental hip hop, because, I mean, as soon as you say the word hip hop, you think of, you know, the traditional rapping kind of style of it. But really what we just heard, that was much more close to, you know, kind of more like a instrumental dance music almost.
Yeah, DJ Shadow maybe, you know, something along those lines. But next time, if I get the chance to come back in again and talk about Japanese hip hop, I'll bring a few rap tracks as well.
Okay, so what's next, Nick? I think we're going to hear from Kush. Am I pronouncing that right?
Yeah, Kushi. So she's a Kyoto-based musician who's released a couple of albums. This is from her brand new EP on a label called Flower Records. And I think, I think you'll like this. It's beautiful. It's her voice is really nice. It's really ethereal, and she makes a kind of very different sort of washed out, I don't know, just a very, very nice sound. And I believe she used to record just in her room late at night, and, you know, Japanese rooms are quite small, and people live, as I'm sure you're aware, like very closely together, so the music is very quiet and quite whispery. But this is a remix by Dintel, so it's a little different. But this track is called We Can't Stop.
Rather enjoying that. Lots of strange kind of polyrhythmic things going on there, kind of wrong footing you where you think the beat's going. Again, that's kind of just getting further and further away from kind of the traditional sort of hip-hop canon. I mean, is Japan kind of a place that's really comfortable with its own sort of spin on the genre?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's some big names. I can't reel them off to you, unfortunately, because it's not an area that I'm an expert in. But in terms of the kind of, you know, the people that I know of and Tatsumi's sort of music-making friends, you know, in this part of the world, in Kyushu, there's certainly, everyone's very comfortable. And, you know, the fact that they're being sort of heard now by an international audience for the first time is great, you know, it's exciting for them, but at the same time, it's not their aim. You know, they're not, like I think a lot of artists from the West, if you want to call it that, kind of are very keen to export their music as quickly as possible. But I think Japan exists as an island quite often, you know, and that's why sometimes you have to come here to kind of find this music and bring it back. It's not that they don't want people to hear it, it's just that they're very comfortable just sort of existing within Japan and making the music in their own environment.
Yeah, and you're sort of very much seeking that out at the moment. You're over there working on a project called Japan Sound Portrait. What is that about and what's inspired that?
Well, it's basically a long-term project inspired by the sound of Japan. So rather than looking at the place from a visual perspective, listening to the sounds. And what we're doing is we're basically asking people to, in Japan, you know, to choose their favourite sounds, record them and send them to us so we can build up a portrait of sound across the whole country. And so we're travelling around screening the Kanzeon film I mentioned earlier and then talking about the new project. And the idea is that by 2020, for the Tokyo Olympics, we're going to have, you know, a big map with sounds from all over the country that people within Japan can enjoy, and also, you know, will spread those sounds around the world as well. You know, and I think the interesting thing about this country is that it moves so fast, even these days, you know, in the time of quite a lengthy stagnation economically. But, you know, on the sound level, things are changing, and some technological sounds are becoming endangered in the way that, you know, animals are in certain parts of the world. So it's trying to capture that whole thing of the sound of this country between, you know, 2015 and 2020.
And the final track we're going to hear is from an artist called Shinokoze, a track called Dark Glass. And I hear that this guy is a tea oil farmer in his spare time, or maybe during his full time. Maybe the music is more of a hobby. Who is Shinokoze?
So yeah, Shinokoze is a project, as you rightly say, from this guy called Ko and Neil Canwell, who's the director and musician as part of this Kanzeon film. And Ko, he's discovered that if you kind of crack open tea seeds, there's all sorts of oils within tea. I guess maybe people knew that, and me didn't know that. But so basically, now he's working on this beauty product, which is taken from the oil from tea seeds, and it's a new thing. No one's ever done it before, and so he's become like extremely busy moving away from hip hop production to producing tea oil, and look, it's gonna be big, man.
he sounds like an innovator in every sense of the word.
He is.
We should have a quick listen. Shinokoze there with Dark Glass. And I mean, you mentioned DJ Shadow earlier. I mean, there's definitely a slightly more I don't know whether it's referencing the music that's gone by. Maybe this is almost retro in that way, or maybe it's just sort of referencing rich hip-hop's rich tradition of kind of pulling in other sounds, but there's definitely a kind of Shadow-esque vibe to some of that. But there was also kind of the beginning of it was a little bit like the Halloween soundtrack, wasn't it?
Yeah, like that's true.
The horrors of tea being documented by Shinokoze there.
Absolutely, yeah, that's true. These guys are quite young. I mean, so the Shadow stuff for them wouldn't have been, you know, I think they'd probably be like 10 years old when Introducing came out. So, yeah, it is interesting. You're right, though.
Don't say that, Nick.
So interesting. I mean, there's more. There's so much more as well. Those are three tracks that I just felt would be, you know, that would work nicely together. But I think, you know, I'll be back in a week with loads more. I'm picking up so much stuff. So, interesting.
Fantastic. Well, we look forward to it. We look forward to hearing what you've grabbed on your journey over there and bring back to Midori House. Nick Luscombe in Japan, thanks so much for bringing us some new sounds today. You've been listening to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Tom Hall. My producer was Holly Fisher. Join us again at the same time tomorrow when we'll be speaking to Matt Wolfe about this week on Broadway. But for the time being, thanks for listening.